Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo! It's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. Woo! That's Josh Brown. That's JT Holton.
At the time of this recording, Nick Markakis is one double shy from passing Babe Ruth's career double mark. Actually, from tying. I'm sorry. For tying. He's one double shot from tying the Babe with career
doubles.
Are
you guys familiar with the Cardi B song that's currently very popular about WAP?
No.
WAP. Yes. She wrote that song thinking about Nick Markakis hitting doubles. That's all I got to say about that. Yeah. Anyway.
No.
Moving on, no, I imagine most of our audience right now has no idea what that was referencing. But for those that do, enjoy. That's the sound that a Nick Markakis double makes. WAP. WAP. Yeah, don't Google.
Stop.
WAP, WAP.
That is not the sound that Markakis double makes. Please stop.
It is. Fellas, is there anything more predictable than Braves bloggers / Twitter people complaining about Chip Carey, about David O'Brien, and about Jeff Schultz?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Markakis bats cleanup. That's always a good one.
There you go. That's no. Yeah. Brian Snicker being incompetent. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's always high on the list.
The they lost their minds this week. Apparently, they don't like Chip Carey talking during a baseball game at all. It's just like not their thing. Let's see. They don't like David O'Brien being snarky, being old. They pretty much don't like David O'Brien having a job they wish they had. And they called Jeff Schultz a stupid old curmudgeon who doesn't deserve his job at the Athletic.
No, Jeff Schultz is not stupid. He may be old and curmudgeonly sometimes, but he definitely deserves his job at the Athletic.
It's so cringy, man. Like I do not understand people. Like, we talked about this on the show, and not to beat a dead horse, but I do not understand these guys bashing people that are better and have more success than them at what they want to do. Like, what are you doing? It makes no sense.
I keep waiting for a Grant McCauley to maybe say something about it. Or maybe I'm, like, secretly hoping, like, Grant, who has some clout and, you know, maybe one of the few guys, you know, Eric Cole would, like, maybe listen to. I don't know.
Yeah, probably not. He'd probably just block him.
Yeah.
He's been on the show, so.
Well, like another podcaster made the statement that he wanted to do a morning show with Grant McCauley. And then on the same day, like, consecutive tweets, insults DOB, insults Jeff Schultz, and insults Chip Carey. And I'm like, you want to do a morning show on the radio with Grant McCauley?
Was that Eric or Dylan? Yeah,
that was not Eric. With Grant McCauley. And you then immediately lose your mind over the main access points you would like to have to the team.
For the team.
So he's dumb.
Like, what are you doing?
He's dumb. He's just not smart, man. That's all it is. I don't know what else to say. Dylan, you're dumb.
I'm not even trying to, like, pick on the podcast, because I actually think his podcast is good. I think he says some good stuff. It's just like, dude, what are you doing? You're actually gifted at pointing certain things out and having a conversation, but why, oh my God, why must you make yourself look like a cringy, crazy man? I mean, that's on level, like you're up there putting yourself on level with Alex Jones when you start making statements like that.
Yeah,
I
Alex Jones of Braves Twitter.
It's,
I shouldn't say he's dumb. Dylan, you're not dumb.
A lot of people would say you. A lot of people would say you are the Alex Jones of Braves Twitter. But what's funny is you actually respect other people.
Well, some people.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's true. Some people. Some people don't deserve respect, though. I'm just saying. I guess they probably do, but.
I didn't know he did that. I know he was like, he's always crying about DOB and Schultz and stuff, which is stupid, but.
Oh, man. He said he felt sorry for anyone that had. That subscribed to The Athletic for the crap content that they got.
Dylan, stop.
Well, me too. That's just because I don't pay for The Athletic. It's ridiculous.
I do. I like The Athletic. It's like, good. Just saying.
It is good. It's good. And
I mean, if it's worth it to get DOB's top 50 albums of the year that comes out in December, then I'll do it.
Look.
Because I need to know the top 50 vinyls that dropped this year.
I love to write, fellas. I love to read. You know why DOB...
Yeah, Wu-Tang Clan was number one.
Do you know why DOB and Jeff Schultz are the writers for The Athletic? Because they write better than anyone else in Braves Twitter.
That's true.
Gabe
Burns,
I love Gabe. Gabe's been on the show. Gabe's... Can't even, like, part of it's the AJC. Gabe probably writes really well. It's just the AJC doesn't let him. But DOB and Jeff Schultz actually know how to write something that's enjoyable to read. I don't care if it's accurate or not. It's enjoyable to read. It's well written. It tells a story. It doesn't just list 4,000 stats.
Yeah.
You know?
You're correct. You're 100% correct. They're great writers. But also, I try not to, when I see those things come to their defense too much because I don't want to look like a fangirl and annoying and all that. But
they don't really need
and
it.
They don't need
it, to be honest.
No, and they don't even care. They probably mute. They probably have Dylan muted. But there's this misconception amongst this super cringy, like mad, angry, insecure Braves blogger in his mama's basement that those guys are no fun. And not cool. And I think they're cool as shit. Like, we had DOB on the podcast. Dude told this, like, 20-minute story about Jimmy Leland, when he covered the Marlins in 2000. I mean, he rides motorcycles. He's awesome. He's cool, man. He's a little...
But he's old. That's their problem, yeah, Josh. Anything that's not young and beating down Fangraphs and talking about
the latest
statistics is not good.
And I love when they turn on Schultz because Schultz is so, like, kind of far left politically, and he's all,
Schultz is basically them, except he's old enough to have some wisdom and he can actually write an article.
Yeah, exactly. So I love when they turn on Schultz about, like, Puig, and they try to think he's... talk about him like he's this old white racist guy. And I'm like, you guys are dumber than shit.
People get mad because Chip Carey.
He's one of those white
dude, that's how they talk about
Jews
so
in Atlanta.
You're not on Twitter right now, but that's how they talk about Schultz.
And Chip Carey, they make out like he's an idiot that knows nothing about baseball because he likes one-run games. He likes guys that don't strike out. He likes pitching. That's finesse pitching that throws a lot of strikes. And I'm like, no, you guys just are extreme and you like to see home runs all the time. But there is a sect of us. There is a group of us that actually enjoyed baseball in the 80s.
And not every
player. It was actually fun to watch.
Not every player, and in the 90s. Not every player is going to have a 140 WRC plus. Not every player is going to put up 8 WAR in a season. That is not how baseball works.
Every pitcher is going to be Max Scherzer.
No.
Like, I can appreciate Max Scherzer. I can love Clayton Kershaw. But I can also enjoy a game pitched by Anibal Sanchez or by Josh Tomlin or by somebody who throws the ball weak and gets lots of grounders. I saw a Braves person say out of their mouth, they had never – no one got excited about watching a bunch of slow grounders. And I'm like – you are young and stupid, and you never watched Greg Maddux pitch because that was Greg Maddux. All Greg Maddux got was slow grounders. All Tim Hudson ever threw was slow grounders.
That is literally,
and it was
every
beautiful.
Successful Braves pitcher not named John Smoltz.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful, yeah. And it was glorious to watch. But because you're young and all you like are these high extremes, is what's wrong with baseball. Not you being young, but the idea that baseball is falling in love with the home run, it's falling in love with the strikeout, and all it does is emphasize home runs and strikeouts.
It's not even young people.
You've left
it's not even
this
young
beautiful
people.
Part
it's,
of the game.
When I was a young boy, we would go to the games just hoping for the chance to see Kevin Grabowski come in with two on and one out.
Yeah.
Because here comes ground ball Grabowski, and it was boom, double play, inning over, and the guy was a magician.
Yeah.
And it was outstanding. Dude, that's not baseball. What is wrong with these people? Like, that's not baseball. Like, if you go watch something else. You clearly don't enjoy baseball. It's like there's this, they've become baseball guy, and they think they're like an elevated, like, soccer guy. That's like, you know, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
You just don't get it.
Yeah.
And they've become this subculture within the culture of baseball fans. It's like they're the elites.
Yeah.
And Chip Carey just dumbs it down too
much. And they have no self-awareness.
Because 80% of his audience is, just common people that are just relaxing at home watching a baseball game.
He's also calling games for 10-year-olds.
WRC Plus.
He's also calling games for 10-year-olds, you freaking moron, in your mama's basement writing for Talking Chop. Like, shut the hell up. Like,
he talks nonstop for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, you know how
these
hard
guys
that
can't stop.
Do you know how hard that
they
is?
They can't talk 30 minutes nonstop without saying something condescending and horrible to another.
My God,
name.
They would have hated if any of these guys were actually Braves fans back then, which they weren't. They would have hated.
Right?
Skip Carey.
Oh, they would have. They would have hated
it. You know how he would
have been wearing?
Yeah, he would. There'd be a foul ball, and he'd be like, a Braves fan
from Maysville.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Eric Cole would be like, how does he actually know that guy was from Mableton? That doesn't make any sense. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the whole posse out on the mound. I said posse. What does that mean? Why is he saying these things?
Yeah, but calling
what's
crazy?
A game, referencing
calling
his alcoholism?
A game for 3 hours, though, like, that is so hard. I could never do that.
Super hard.
Like, my dad.
Not by myself. Yeah. Not like the way they do it. I could do it, but not like that.
You know, my dad, bless his heart, he's the dad that, like, thinks his sons are way, like, cooler and more accomplished than they are. And I'm not saying that to get weird and be like, but like
that's most dads, yeah.
Yeah, most dads. Like, but when I played music, y'all, I had like maybe like 10 original songs. I'm 30 years old and I've got only 10 songs. But if you talk to my dad, you'd think I was freaking Bob Dylan, you know what I mean? And and so with baseball, he's like, son, you could maybe apply to do that. You know, you never know. You could do what that they do in the booth. And I'm like, I could never do that. I could never do that. That is really hard.
Like, have you guys listened to Josh do a podcast for 3 hours? Like, he nearly kills someone in the 3 hours that we have a podcast.
Right.
And I mean, like seriously, this is not a shot at you, Josh. It's your design, and it's what you're good at. But could you imagine doing a 3 hour show every night and not being political ever?
No,
and not being
I could not.
And not being a jerk about
right.
somebody saying
no.
something stupid.
No,
and not
couldn't
saying something ridiculous about a player on the other team.
Right?
You know, like you couldn't do it.
Also,
you couldn't even, Josh. You couldn't even make it through a whole night without making fun of a Braves player. With
I would
you know
make
what I'm
fun
saying?
Of
like,
everybody.
You would totally.
I would troll everybody.
Absolutely.
I would be fired. By the fifth
and
inning.
That would probably be a really cool way to watch a baseball game, don't get me wrong, but it's not what Chip Carey does. You know what I'm saying? It's not what sports announcers are asked to do.
He is
you
calling
know?
A game for Braves fans. Sorry, JT.
No, it was fine. I was just saying, like, they would cut my mic after, like, my 12th stupid pun, and they'd just pull the plug.
Yeah,
go.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Another thing I couldn't do?
Well, Marcel was due for a hit Ozuna earlier.
Another thing I could never do? Okay, here's another thing I could never do. Well, first of all, I could never do what Chip Carey does. Also, I could never be a Major League Baseball manager. Do you want to know why?
Because you would never be able to sit there and watch someone else do something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It's not that I could totally fill out a lineup card. I could probably make some good in-game decisions. Honestly, I'm not saying I'm Jimmy Leland, but I could probably manage a bullpen. What I couldn't do is sit there and pay attention for 4 hours. You know
right.
how like post-game interviews with Brian Snitker? And Brian Snitker is not like some savant. Maybe he is though. But like he's recapping everything. It's like, yeah, so-and-so did this in the third inning, so-and-so looked great and we took him out in the third inning and then so-and-so gave it. He knows He knows the whole game. He knows exactly what just happened. I wouldn't remember anything, and I wouldn't have paid attention to, like, anything past the third inning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first, 100%. Now, here's the other part, I think, and I've even seen good people fall into this trap, okay? Guys that I actually respect and think have a good Twitter voice. When you live in that world of stats and being condescending and all those kinds of things all the time, you become very self-unaware. So the other night in a podcast, a broadcast, Chip made a statement, something along the lines of, he was talking about strikeouts, and I don't remember the exact quote that he said, but the gist of it was like these guys that that love strikeouts, and all they talk about is how you just don't have to care about strikeouts.
Uh-huh.
Well, I saw somebody on Twitter say, we've literally never said that. And I'm like, you may not have. But you should listen to what Chip Carey just said, because that's the way you sound.
Yep.
That's what people hear when you say what you say. You might have never meant to say that, but that's what you communicate when you repeatedly say over and 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 over that you don't like contact guys, that you don't like Nick Markakis, that you only like these guys that swing big for the fence all the time, that Aaron Judge and, the guy, the guy from Texas. The guy from Texas that.
Yeah, Joey Gallo.
I wanted to call him Votto, and I knew it wasn't.
Even Acuna.
They just strike out constantly. Like, look, we appreciate those guys too, but you sound like when that's all you ever talk about, you sound like you hate guys that make contact. And so the perception of what you say is that you love strikeouts and you just don't care if anybody ever strike out. You may have never said that, but that's what you communicated.
It's funny that those people see themselves as like the thought police of baseball, because when I'm talking to someone like that, I feel like I'm talking to my 8-year-old cousin about what baseball players are good. Like, Aaron Judge is awesome. He hit 45 home runs. Aaron Judge rules. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's home. He's a ball star.
Oh, Doyle rules.
I'm like a baseball nerd, like a baseball purist, like someone who loves baseball would appreciate the heck out of Nick Markakis.
Yeah.
For being a contact hitter, for a guy who is a low strikeout guy, puts the ball in play, smart base runner. Really good fielder, does all the little things that matter in a baseball game. Like, that's what being a baseball dork is all about. Like, and I say dork in the most loving manner there is. Like, when I see somebody be like, oh, we need, you know, Joey Gallo, who's like a career average of like 219, I'm like, dude, no, that's not good. That's not good at all. Like,
even if
you don't want these high strikeout guys.
Right. Even if it is good, I'm allowed to not like that kind of baseball. Like, I'm allowed to not want to see a bunch of strikeouts, even if it's productive. Like, I
the worst
I'm
game
allowed
I ever
to
saw.
Not, think of it this way: I'm allowed to think that a Bugatti is a terrible looking car, even though it drives really fast.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
it may not be your cup of tea.
I'm allowed to say that a Lamborghini Aventador is way overdone, and I don't want one, even if it's an awesome car. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's allowed. That's literally what being a fan comes down to. Is there certain things you like?
When I had pick up this name for me, JT. When I had Jim Cott on our podcast a couple of summers ago.
Oh yes, Jim.
One of the things we talked about was this, and we talked about the All-Star game from the previous year, and me and him both took issue with it because I think I brought it up, and he was like, "Yeah, I remember that," and it was. Like the overwhelming majority of runs in this All-Star game was home runs. It was just solo home runs, dinger after dinger. And that wasn't that entertaining. It just wasn't, you know? And what is fun, in my opinion, and in my best friend Jim Koss' opinion, is getting on base, driving in runs, contact, balls in the gap, you know? Making pitchers
giggity.
You know, like tonight, I watched the first few innings, making a guy like Anibal Sanchez just sweat profusely because he's loaded up the bases and
make
has to get out of it. And Nick Markakis gives us like insane 15 pitch at bat, and you know, finally walks to first. And that's to me, that's fun. More fun than like dinger after dinger after dinger. And I know that sounds like an old.
It was kind of like boomer, it was kind of like watching pitchers bat. You know, I'm just saying. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it adds more strategy.
Whatever.
But yeah, things like productive outs, you know, things like that. Like, the old rule is if you put the ball in play, anything can happen. I don't know why people don't agree with that, because it's a reason it's an age-old adage is because it's true. Because, yeah, sometimes you hit a little dribbler to second, and the guy mishandles it, and then you got to run scoring in from third. If that was a swing and a miss, inning's over.
Yeah.
Put the ball in play, good things will happen. Is it fun? Is it sexy? No, but that's what baseball's about. Baseball's about getting productive outs. It's about bunting. It's about stealing a base. It's about the little thing.
Let me take a timeout here. Time out here for just a moment.
What?
Let me take this outside of baseball for a minute.
Oh, God.
Look, their Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition comes out once a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's filled with, quote, the perfect woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the boobs, they have the butt, they have the legs, they have the arms, they have the smile, they have the hair. They have everything, right?
Right.
And the problem is that's what the world says is the perfect woman or the perfect baseball player, as we've talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that can do is it can create this identity that, one, your wife sees it and is like, well, I'm not that. Do you think that's the thing that's beautiful? I'm not that, right? Like, I don't look like that. The truth is, nobody looks like that. That's all photoshopped and touched up and makeuped and it's not even real, right?
Right.
There's this illusion that we get into our own lives and, like, we try to strive for this, like, perfection thing where we want the perfect life, the perfect baseball player that hits only dingers, that never strike, you know, that, and we don't care if he strikes out as long as he hits a bunch of home runs. And our life can get that way where all we're trying to do is hit home runs in our life, and then you strike out a lot on the daily basis. And before long, you realize, you know, you can't sustain being a home run hitter only in your personal life, and it wrecks a lot of stuff, right? I mean, this is where, like, I think this is where we are in a lot of ways as a society, is like we strive for this ideal of perfection, and then we shame ourselves when we realize that there's a lot of strikeouts involved in trying to be that.
Wow. Way yes. to hijack That's our deep. Nick Markakis conversation with real life.
More of anecdotes. Us should be like Nick Markakis, Josh. There you go. More of us should be like Nick Markakis.
Do you think Nick Markakis has ever caught Brian Snitker looking at Aaron Judge highlights on his computer and has been like, "That I don't look like that.
Is there like a jug? Okay. There's like a jar of lotion.
What's wrong with me?
There's like there a jar of lotion that, there. Yeah. Yeah.
Do I not do it for you? Yeah. Is that what it is? And he's like, "No, Nick, you're fine. No, Nick, you're fine. You're fine. This is just something different."
Somebody sent me this, and I'm just looking at it.
You know, yeah. Somebody, I clicked on the wrong link, and it came up. I did not mean to be
like Nick Markakis. Nick Markakis is at the plate, and Brian Snicker's over there running the highlight reel through his mind of Aaron Judge hitting a home run. Is that it? Oh my goodness! I love you, JT. While we're talking about Braves, Nick Markakis is now batting a little cleanup. We should have known all this time, fellas. His number's 22. You look at it; anybody can see 2 + 2 = 4. He's the 4-hole hitter for the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, Freddie Freeman moves to batting second. I actually really like that move. We've kind of suggested that move a lot of times in the past, and I think it makes a lot of sense, especially when you get Acuna back in front of him. Man, what do you guys think about all this?
Cakes has like a 912 OPS right now.
I don't know what to think about lineup stuff, because I've read books like Moneyball that say you could basically put 9 names in a hat and draw them out in
right.
a span of a season that all come out in the wash.
And
you can just set your lineup however you want to.
And
then I've also been told by other advanced metric guys you put your best hitter in the 2-hole, not the 3-hole.
And to add a little context to that, the reason you put your best hitter in the 2-hole is that evidence shows that the first person in the lineup, obviously, will have the most at-bats over the entire season. The second person in the lineup will get about 35 to 50 more at bats than the person that's third, batting third in the lineup. And you don't put him first because you would prefer to have that guy batting with a man on base in front of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would like that to happen at least sometimes.
So I talked about this, and I did like a little monologue thing like 2 weeks ago about something. I forget what it was about. Here are my thoughts. So leadoff, you know, I kind of think that a certain type player should probably hit leadoff, right? Two hole, I think a certain type hitter should probably hit two hole, okay? Third, I guess maybe like a power-ish guy. Fourth, maybe someone who just drives and runs. I don't know if that's a power or not. I don't know. Then after that, like 5 through 9, like I don't care. And it makes me laugh when I see people like these Braves bloggers on Twitter lose their shit over Cakes hitting fifth. And I'm like, yeah, I've never cared. I've watched baseball my entire life. Honest to God. I've never cared who hits fifth. I don't even think about it. Yeah. I don't think anybody should care who hits fifth. If you care who hits fifth, honestly, you need to like log off and reevaluate your life. Go to church. Get plugged
in with
some friends.
Put the Sports Illustrated magazine away. Like, go find a real female and talk to her.
If you get pissed off online at Nick Markakis hitting fifth, honest to God, like shut the computer down. Go to a bar and just meet somebody. Okay, and create a relationship. Like, have a personal goal. I'm going to make one new relationship this week. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it no matter what, and go and do it. Log off, turn the TV off, get outside, and find a life.
The only lineup pet peeve I ever have is when we have a DH, and then we go with a guy that's obscenely slow in the 9-hole. Because I like the idea of having, when the lineup rolls over, almost two hitters.
I do hate that.
When, like, Tyler Flowers will be batting ninth, and I'm like, oh, good, now we start an inning, and Tyler Flowers is on base with nobody out, and we have no speed on the base pass. Like, yeah. I'd rather him be eighth, and then you can put, like, Ozzie or somebody at nine. So then you got Ozzie, Acuna, Freeman, and it's a little bit more...
True, but...
That's my only thing.
But you could have Inciarte, who's fast... batting ninth, but doesn't get on base. So I'd rather have Tyler Flowers on first base than Inciarte not. So.
Can't steal first.
Inciarte's kind of struggling. I hope he kind of turns around, but his leash has got to be getting shorter, fellas. I mean, Christian Pache is sitting there in the minors. Guys, at what point, like, we're past the cutoff to save a year.
Are we? Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, we are. We are now past that cutoff.
Okay.
I'm curious. I actually do agree with the bloggers on this point. I'm curious why with Acuna, with Ozzy out, with Ender not performing, why you haven't seen Christian or somebody else called up.
Yeah.
With the bullpen being with the starters struggling so much, why haven't we seen Davidson or Anderson or Weigel or any of these guys?
Sorry, go ahead, JT.
No, I was saying we've seen this in the past where one of the faults of Brian Snickers, he's too loyal.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it with guys like Sam Freeman. He pull out the bullpen all the time.
Ooh, talk about best eyes in baseball.
Great eyes. Yeah, great eyes. Light brown.
You saw in the way he had to – they had good eyes. You saw in the way he talked about Newcomb and Fulte. I mean, having to send those down, like, dude, it hurt him.
Yeah,
like, he loves his kids, and he wants to do well. So he wants to give Ender every single opportunity he possibly
can.
Because he wants Ender to do well.
Yeah.
But, reality is what reality is. Is Ender and Ciarte a part of the future of the Atlanta Braves? No, it's not.
I feel bad for Ender.
It's just not.
I really do. Because the thing about it is, it's mid-August. And Ender, and the Braves bloggers forget this every year, but Ender always starts off slow. So that
he does.
And I'm not saying that he's going to heat up and be amazing, but I mean, history shows us that, like, more times than not, he does do that. He starts off slow, and it's mid August right now. It's basically April. It's basically still April, or it's like May 1st. And I'm just like, I kind of feel bad for Ender because it's like, it's this weird season. There's not a lot of time left, but he's just warming up. And when he warms up, he really is a 300 hitter. He is.
I think the thing that's hurt Ender this year has been his defense not looking good. And I know
that's only been confusing.
Five or six plays.
That yeah, that's been weird.
It's really only been five or six plays, but those five or six stand out really big this year, And
hadn't that been
and
weird?
So that's kind of
like,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't do that. I don't know.
Well, that's been his one saving grace when he's struggled at the plate, and it's another ender grounder to second, and we're all like, oh, there it is, yeah. Slow dribbler to second. The one thing that's saved his bacon this whole time has been, well, he's Gold Glover in center field. Like, he's got that.
And look, there's a lot of pressure on this because of it being a shortened season. Let's be honest. He's had about 2 weeks worth of bad plays, and that's been about all.
Yeah.
But it feels bigger than that, right? Because every game's big, you know. Mm-hmm. But because we're so not used to that from him as well. I think when everyone's used to you playing way up here, mm-hmm. and now for like two solid weeks you've played way down here, mm-hmm. it really makes people wonder. I don't know. Fellas, Max Fried, is he gonna win the Cy Young?
I hope he does. That would be neat. Yeah. I don't see how he's not going to. He's pitching his butt off during a time where he absolutely has to pitch his butt
off. Yeah, yeah.
And he is doing that and then some. Like, you know, the first thought I had when Soroka went down was, man, okay, Max Fried, this has got to be it, man. You got to show it. You've got to grow up. And he absolutely, to this point, knock on wood, but to this point, absolutely has done everything that we thought he could do. I'm not looking at his stats right now. I've got no idea, but his ERA has got to be very, very small.
Yeah. Yeah, he's what, second in all of baseball, I think, or tied for first in whip, I believe mm-hmm. it was. His ERA is currently 1.24. His whip is 0.897.
Mm.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I mean, that's less than a hit per inning. That's crazy good.
Yeah.
There's this propensity as Braves fans, especially in this small season, to hyper-analyze every last decision that the Braves make. And I try not to get sucked into that, but it is easy sometimes when they're struggling to want to do that with every last decision. Why hasn't Weigel started? Why haven't you even seen him at least out of the bullpen in long relief? You know, why hasn't Tucker Davidson been called up? Why haven't we seen even Matzik maybe get stretched out for a longer thing? You know, why haven't we seen some of these younger guys get opportunities when obviously you've got a hole there? Am I being hyper analytical here and like punching a little bit too focused, or should we be wanting to see those things a little more?
No, okay. People complain 22 games into a 162 game season, so. Yeah, they're definitely going to complain if it's a 60-game season.
Yeah.
And yeah, cause this season is different from any other, and hopefully any other we'll ever have. So your usual things of, hey, let it slide, let it go. Look, Sean Newcomb and Mike Fulton Evans would both still be in the big league roster right now if this was 162 games.
Yeah, yeah.
They would. But we don't have the freedom to wait. We don't have the luxury of time.
Right.
We have to be more. And that's different for pretty much every GM, every manager, to have to make these decisions in a much shorter time frame. So are fans going to have all these questions and hyper-analyze everything? Well, yeah, because Braves fans do that regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just what we love to do. But do they have some validity about those arguments in this season? I think so, because time is precious. Every single game is vastly huge.
I think the Atlanta Braves are in a position where their offense is good enough, assuming Austin Riley or Johan Camargo decide to remember how to hit baseballs at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I think their offense is good enough that they need to do what they're doing with Austin Riley. And I think they need to do it with young pitchers, and that is call them up and let them pitch. You don't get that luxury in baseball anymore. I mean, look, guys. No one that's under the age of 35 probably remembers John Smoltz and Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux sucking their first 3 years of the majors. But they did. Go back and look at the stats. They sucked. They struggled. But you know what they did? They pitched 25 to 30 games a year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they went out. They pitched, and they learned how to throw at the major league level. I think a lot of people don't realize that Mike Soroka is a freak. The fact that he could come straight into the major league level and go to pitching at an elite level is insane. That doesn't happen. Like, we could probably count on two hands the number of pitchers in the last 30 years that have been able to do that. Pitchers have to learn how to pitch at the major league level. And I was talking to our buddy Dan Keats about this, and I said, Dan, you know more about actual baseball. I said, is this a fair comparison? And he said, yes, 100%. Going from AAA to the majors is like going from a small startup business to a Fortune 500. And it's similar skill sets, but it's a totally different job. You're doing something incredibly different. You're dealing with the best hitters in the game on the other team. There's no pitcher this year now for young guys to have a free out to try to kind of work through an order to get around. On top of that, you're now getting more information than you've ever had before, right? Like, you are being poured just information overload on what hitters are doing, how they're hitting, what kind of game plan are you going to use. You're getting more information about your own pitches, TrackMan data, speed, you know, rotation. You don't get that at Gwinnett. You might in spring training when you're getting warmed up, but like, they're not TrackMan and everything you do at Gwinnett, not most of the time, and giving you the results of it. They're not telling you how fast your curveball is spinning or where your release point's at or any of those kinds of things. And then on top of that, you got pitching coaches looking at you and saying, okay, we're going to pitch this guy this way, this side. You know, you're going to work even on the inside. You're going to go to the outside. And then you got on top of that a professional catcher down there that's calling a game and learning you all at the same time. It's just an entirely different job from what you had at AAA. And so guys that have been able to get through AAA with amazing stuff get to the majors and face amazing hitters that can hit amazing stuff and struggle, and they have to learn how to pitch. I mean, they have to learn how to throw strikes. They have to learn how to trust their stuff. They have to learn what stuff to trust and what stuff not to trust. They have to learn when to throw certain pitches. They have to learn how to pitch backwards in counts. You can say they did that at AAA, but they didn't have to. There was not a guy in AAA that was going to sit there and be ready for them to pitch a backwards count in the sixth. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guy at AAA is not that good. I mean, most of the hitters at AAA aren't sitting there waiting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of hitters at AAA are Austin Riley. They're guys that now have to come to the big leagues and learn how to hit major league pitching. Because in AAA, they're not facing major league pitching. They're facing AAA pitching, you know? And I think it's easy to, I think the Braves have got to give young kids, whoever they choose, Tukey, Wright, Davidson, Anderson, any of these guys that they want to. But I think this is the year you've got to let them pitch it and learn how to pitch. And I think it's a season where, yes, it's short. Yes, games mean a lot, but you don't have another option, so do it.
Well, and let's be honest, too. We're all watching this season now, and I want the Braves to win when I'm watching them.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do as a fan. The second the Braves are eliminated, assuming we don't win the World Series, the second they're eliminated, I'm going to say, yeah, well, this season didn't really count anymore.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm going to say, and that's exactly what fans of every team that doesn't win the World Series is going to say themselves.
Yep.
That's exactly the way it's going to go. So,
that's funny.
Why not? Why not throw some stuff at the wall? Throw some crap at the wall, see what sticks, and let them have a chance to get out there and you know, dip their toes in the water and see what you might have. Without a lot, you know, hey, I mean, I think we're very protective, like, of prospects. They need more seasoning. They're not ready.
You're afraid they'll lose value.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're afraid they'll lose value, for one thing, that this trade chip will get shelled for 10 earned runs in two innings, and then you've lost a lot of trade value. But also, it's like, you don't want to wreck their psyche. You don't want to turn them into Rick Ankiel, and all of a sudden he won't be able to hit. Dude, if that's the case, then he ain't cut out for the major leagues anyway.
Right.
He better start working on his swing and learn how to play the outfield. So eventually you're just going to have to see what you got. And I think this is a great season to do that, because I know as a fan, and I probably speak for fans of pretty much every other team, if my team doesn't win it, I'm going to resign myself to, well, it was a weird season. It doesn't really count.
Yeah. And
unless the Braves win it all, then I will flout that we're the World Series champions.
And the Braves have an open window here. And I think it can be a very extended open window with what's on the team. So therefore, let these guys learn. I mean, if you don't win it this year, they're that much closer to being ready to contribute next year, and you know what you need. You know if these guys have something or not, you know? And when I say have something, I'm not talking about 15 wins and 2.4 ERA. I mean, maybe it's a 5.4 ERA, but you can look at it and say, you know, that guy's going to figure it out. It's going to take him some time. Like, I look at Kyle Wright, and I think that guy's going to pitch a lot of Major League Baseball innings. I don't know if it'll be for the Braves, but he's going to pitch a lot of Major League Baseball innings because he's going to figure it out. I can look at him. He's not Aaron Blair. He's not a guy that looks to me like he's never going to make it at the majors. He's a guy that looks like he's got it. He's just got to figure out how to pitch beyond the third inning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will. You know, I really do. I don't know that it'll be this year. You know, I'm not sitting here saying he's going to do it this year. But
Mike Minor was a guy that was like that.
Absolutely.
You could see the first two innings went well,
man.
And then the wheels are starting to come
y'all
off.
Y'all didn't know Cousin Kent during the Mike Minor days. Y'all, oh my God.
But once he learns how to pitch, the talent's there, but he's got to learn how to navigate the tough
Chris
parts of the game.
Chris Medlin was the same way. Chris Medlin was the exact same way. Yeah. Yep. I mean, and you see a lot of these guys, and they're like, oh man, they suddenly became great pitchers at 30 years old. No, they were good pitchers before. It just took them that long to learn to pitch. Charlie Morton is a great example. Like, Charlie Morton's always had stuff, and he could never throw it. He gets to be like 32 years old and suddenly becomes a wizard, you know, like out of nowhere, quote, you know, when it was really always there. It's just a matter of how many years will it take this guy to figure it out, and then when he did, boom, man, he's
also
going
Charlie
to the best
Morton's
around.
Super cute.
He is
like one of the better looking guys in the game for sure.
I remember Charlie Morton as a Brave.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize until we played him
that he was as cute.
Exactly how old he was and how long ago that was.
Yeah, he's 36 now. Like, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, crap. Really? Wow, that was that.
We're
long
getting
ago?
Old, you guys.
Yeah,
we're getting old.
No.
So changing gears. Oh, go ahead, JT.
No, I just think anybody named Charlie is still like 25.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I figure he'd be like Charles W. Morton III by this point or something.
Yeah. Well, Charlie bit my finger.
Stop.
JT, did you watch the 5 overtime hockey game?
Yes, I did.
Six and a half hours is my understanding.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, started at 3, ended about 9:30. Yeah, it was
oh my gosh.
The fourth longest game of all time. Yeah.
Wow. They canceled the other game that was coming on after it and postponed it to the next day because it went 5.5 overtimes. Who was in this game? Give us a breakdown a little bit of it.
Tampa Bay, and it was game 1, Tampa Bay and Columbus, Blue Jackets. Junis Corpus.
Wait,
maybe
wait, Junis. There's an NHL team called the Blue Jackets?
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Why?
Yes.
Why?
I have no idea. Why is there one in Columbus, Ohio, of all places?
What is
no
a
idea.
Blue jacket?
I mean, it's a jacket.
I actually don't know.
It's blue.
I'm not
it's
sure.
Not like a, it's not like a yellow jacket. It's like a jacket.
I have no idea. I mean, their logo is like just a CBJ hockey stick kind of looking thing.
I'm sure it's named after something.
Really I'm not
maybe
sure.
There's like maybe it like Ohio Oilman Ward. Blue jackets or something.
I'm sure there's a reason for it, but I would be highly disappointed if I got a sports franchise in my city and they're like the Blue Jackets.
It's kind of like the Washington football team. I mean, like it feels like that boring, you know.
Just go with like the Columbus Cougars and just be generic and have a wildcat.
Just have a 50-year-old woman be your mascot. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, there you go. I have my mom be the mascot.
There you go.
Yeah, this guy Junis Corposalo. Junis, I'm not sure if it's a soft J. He had 85 saves, except it set a record. 85 saves on 88 shots.
What a game.
Which is quite impressive.
What a game.
Yes. Several dudes played over a full hour on the ice. That's over 2 full games.
That's
just straight
insane.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care. Just end it. I'm done. I don't care if I win. Just. Just in the state.
You did kind of care.
Brutal.
I mean, you did kind of care.
I did, but at a certain point, through like second overtime, I'm like, I don't know.
Was it 0-0 this entire time, or what? How did it work?
No, it was 2-2. The Lightning tied the game right at the beginning of the third period.
Oh.
And then they went almost 19 minutes of not scoring in the end of the third period, and then like 3 full games of or 3 full periods of not scoring in overtime.
Now, so, in hockey, help me out. Is it a full period of overtime? How does overtime work?
Full 20. Yeah, 20 minutes.
All right. And
yeah, playoff hockey, you just keep going 20 minutes until somebody scores.
But if somebody scores, it's sudden death?
It's over. Sudden death. Yeah.
So they went 5 overtimes of sudden death and nobody scored. That's crazy.
Right. That is Each 20 minutes, so that's an hour, 20 minutes plus. So each one's 20 minutes. So five overtimes.
That's crazy.
Keep in mind the three periods you've already played is an hour. And then you've got five overtimes. So that's a whole nother. It's almost three games.
Yeah. That is,
you know, over two and a half games. And yeah. So how many and so every shot could end the game. Every time there's a, you know, a save is huge.
That's insane. So how many teams are left in the hockey playoffs now? I know it's whittled down a little bit.
16. This is a 16. This is your more traditional style playoffs now, where you've got, you know, teams from each league. You've got eight in the East, eight in the West.
Okay.
The only difference is some of the teams that are in the playoffs had to win qualifiers to play in. So like the Canadiens are playing the Flyers. That would be a 1-8. That's actually a 1-12 seed because the Canadiens were the 12 seed and they beat the 5th seed, the Penguins.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, so they would not have made the playoffs in the regular season, but were able to play their way in through the qualifiers.
Gotcha. So, okay.
It's a little bit different.
Has any of those games started yet? Like, is Lightning already started that series up, or are they?
Yeah, they won today. They're up 3-1 on Columbus.
Oh, wow, that's fast. What about the Canes, Josh? I know you're a Canes fan.
I'd lost track. I haven't paid attention.
Oh, man.
I think they're
maybe
still
you're not a Canes
down fan. Down 2-1 to the Bruins, but the Bruins goalie just opted out. So, took a Rask, just said, I'm going home.
Wow. So, why? Wow.
He said family concerns, so I don't know. That was 4-3. They lost, so they're down 3-1 in the series tonight. They were
ooh,
against arms.
Ooh, Josh, you should be more of a fan, man. Maybe that's why they're losing.
That's probably why
they're losing. Fellas, what are your thoughts on Ozzy and Acuna's wrist? Saying Acuna may miss a little more time than just the 10 days, and he's still feeling a lot of soreness. Ozzy's still feeling some soreness from the right side when he swings.
Yeah. I think we need to really do something to flatten the curve with all the wrist injuries, because I think what's happened is these young men are...
Remove the Sports Illustrateds? Is that your thought here, Josh?
Yeah. Honestly, Ken, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that, but you coop them up in a hotel room. They're not allowed to go... to the cheetah, you know, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, what are you going to do? And then you're going to complain because their wrist gets injured? I'm just saying we need to flatten the curve.
Oh, I see. Apparently someone reported that it was a video game injury for Ronald Acuna. I don't know how true that was, but that was what someone reported.
You don't see the Yankees playing video games. These kids need to take it more seriously, do what the Yankees do. Get some haircuts, quit celebrating, and playing video games.
That's because they're the Yankees.
I should tweet that and just see what happens.
The Yankees.
Yeah, that's a Tommy Boy joke. Just say, fellas, let me ask you this, and we'll end on this note. What have you been watching and listening to?
Listening to... A lot of Rush Limbaugh.
I heard he called
No, I discovered a really good podcast. Let me plug it. Honestly, I drove to Georgia and back this past weekend, and I listened to hours of this podcast. It's called...
dun, dun, dun.
It's called Unbelievable.
Josh, super prepared. Unbelievable.
It's this British guy. It's this... British Christian guy. He has a radio show daily on Christian radio in Great Britain, which is their only Christian radio station. And
what's his name?
The show's called Unbelievable with John. I forget his name. Crap. I'm the worst. But it's called Unbelievable. Basically, this guy hosts a show where each week he has a Christian and a non-Christian on the show, and they talk about faith. And it's never contentious. It's, like, fascinating. So he'll have, like, this he's had it for, like, 15 years. So sometimes his episodes will have archives, which we should do one day once we get old. But he played one clip from a 2011 interview of this guy named Chris Sinkerson of Moreland's Theological College debates this theologian named John Hick. John Hick, non-Christian, was a pluralist, basically. He was like 89 in 2011 at the time of this interview. And so these two guys just, they kind of go at it, but not in a ever mean or malicious way. It's super awesome. They walk away often with great respect for each other. It's amazing.
Justin Brierley. Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. It's really good, man. It's very long form. It's kind of nerdy, but highly recommend it. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah,
along that same vein, I like the Ask. What's that dude's name? Oh man, my mind just totally blanked on me. Shoot. NT Wright, Ask NT Wright Anything podcast. Super good. If you like long form or semi long form, nerdy theological stuff. Very good. Yeah. He's a British guy too.
And I think what about you, JT? I think a lot of Christians are afraid to like talk about what they believe or like debate or I think a lot of Christians kind of get scared about like, oh God, if an atheist asks me what I believe and why I believe it, I'm too scared.
That's because a lot of Christians don't really know what they believe.
That's true. That's true. But I think some do, and some are a little bit maybe timid, and I don't know. But this podcast is really cool because you can kind of hear believers kind of explain to like really highly qualified, just geniuses about why they believe the Bible and like what their thoughts on Jesus are. It's really cool.
Cool. What about you, JT? What you been listening, watching, reading?
Oh, here's a weird thing about me. About once a year, I fall into this little 2 or 3 day wormhole where I watch old videos about September 11th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, right? So like past like Sunday and
is this why
watching...
your son like drew a picture of like September 11th and started to his teacher?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drew artwork in pre-K, and the teacher's like, that looks pretty. What is it, Cliff? And he's like, this is when the planes flew into the buildings. I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Maybe a parenting fail there. So anyway, my mother lost several friends in 9/11. It happened when I was 16 years old. It was always something that captivated me. I can imagine like a 16-year-old who was around in Pearl Harbor would be. You know, or the JFK assassination. You know, something like that, which is another great wormhole to fall down. But I've been watching, like I watched the, they had a telethon called the Tribute for Heroes. And it had all these cool music performances and then all these celebrities. And it's all on YouTube.
Is that
and
the
it's
one,
really cool to watch.
That's the one that had Adam Sandler doing Opera Man. I have a recording of that.
Oh, was he on there?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
It might have been that way. I know he was on there because you can see him using the telephone, taking calls.
He did one. It was Opera Man, and he sang the song about old Mr. Bin Laden and made fun of Bin Laden. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's one of my favorite Adam Sandler bits. Sorry.
It's really cool to go back and watch how unified everybody was on September, I think that was like the 20th or something. It was like, just a little week and a half later.
Yeah.
But it had Dave Matthews, Bruce Springsteen, a whole bunch of good performances. Johnny Resnick was on there.
Oh, nice.
That was real cool. And then watching things like the first opening of Saturday Night Live after 9/11 and David Letterman's monologue. He had Regis and Dan Rather on. And it was really cool stuff to go back and see what a different time that was and just what a cool – the stories of different firemen and all the cool stuff you hear. It's always a cool thing to go back and revisit. And then this weekend I drove up. I can't believe I've never been there because it's 15 minutes from my front door to the Whistle Stop Cafe in Juliet where Fried Green Tomatoes was filmed. So I went up there. There's a lot of antique shops. Found a little piece of the Ted. Got a bunch of Louis Grizzard books and had one of the best meals of my life, a country fried steak at the Whistle Stop Cafe. Fantastic. I think I was probably the only person in the Whistle Stop Cafe that knew who Junius Corposalo was.
Nice.
And I've been reading, I don't know if you've ever heard of Pat Conroy. He is the poet laureate, basically, of Charleston, South Carolina. Hmm. He's wrote a bunch of books about Charleston. They're big with women and the homosexuals. I just love the city of Charleston. My mom used to live there, and it's a fantastic city, and it's a great
I heard
there,
cool.
It's definitely not a manly book. It's like Steel Magnolias, but
I heard but, Charleston's right. thinking about canceling their Southern Charm because it's racist. There's been articles written about this. A lot of the foodies and the cultural, movers and shakers of Charleston. Yeah.
Really? Because I don't think anybody from Charleston was there. Because I remember when Dylann Roof walked into the AME church there and killed 9 people. No one burned buildings or broke windows. They all came together and they walked together.
Oh, no, I agree.
On the bridge. And it was outstanding. And Charleston handled that better than anything any city has ever done.
I remember that.
So I find that hard to believe that people from Charleston are actually feeling that. Because people from Charleston... If you're from Charleston, when you have a good understanding of what it's like to live next door to
the far left goobers that are writing these articles about it. Yeah,
but people like born and raised Charlestonians understand what it's like to be Southern and to live next to people who don't have the same skin color. They're the nicest people in the world.
Yeah,
and it's such a cool city.
Yeah.
So if you've never been to Charleston, it's very sweaty. But it's also just a beautiful place.
If I could afford it, I'd live at Folly Beach. Just saying.
Oh, dude.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah, for me, I've been on a murderer kick, I have to be honest. I've been reading the Hannibal Lecter series, which is fascinating. I really enjoy. I've read them all once before, so I'm reading them again. I watched the – if you've never seen the series and you like gory, really deep – psychological stuff. The Netflix actually has the first three seasons of the Hannibal show that NBC redid, and it's amazing, fantastic. But it is very gory if it's not your thing. I'm also so I've been reading those, and then I started watching Dexter again. I'm about three seasons into that. Another murder thing. I'm really not thinking about killing anyone. It's just like the show is just what I've been thinking about, I guess, in a weird way. And then let's see. I watched the Richard Pryor special on Netflix this week.
Ooh, I need to watch that.
Not
is
his
good?
Best, but it was good. Not his best work, but still solid.
Okay.
It's 1979. Live from somewhere in California. I don't remember, but
was it the one from the Sunset Strip?
I don't think
it's
so.
One of them. He's got so much good stuff.
I've been reading.
It was good.
I've been reading Bill O'Reilly's Killing Lincoln.
Ah,
dude, Bill O'Reilly. I mean, we just know Bill O'Reilly is the loud guy on Fox. Like, dude went to Harvard, was a history teacher before he ever was on TV. Great writer. And it kind of leads up to the moment of Killing Lincoln. It talks about the end of the Civil War and Lee's last flee, basically, and they're chasing him. He's trying to get to, South Carolina, and he was pretty close to disappearing if it wasn't for one bridge. He had to get across one bridge, and they stopped him, and the rest is history. So I'm reading that. It's really good. Still reading the New Testament. I'm like through John. I'm not very far. I need to go faster. Also, my redneck brother has turned me on. You guys are going to laugh, y'all. Turned me on to cheesy, dollar westerns.
Oh, Louis L'Amour?
Yes.
Louis L'Amour? That's not cheesy. That's good stuff.
It's fantastic, dude. Like, JT.
Louis L'Amour is not cheesy. Well, now, there are cheesy dollar westerns. Louis L'Amour is not cheesy.
I didn't know. I knew nothing about it. Benjamin just discovered him at a thrift store, and so he's obsessed.
Oh, seriously?
He's obsessed with Louis
Reader's
L'Amour.
Reader's Digest used to put out Louis L'Amour books, in triplicates.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, so he's obsessed with him and some guy named David Thompson, and he mailed me some. And then when I, on the way to Georgia Friday, I always stop at McKay's used bookstore in Knoxville. If you guys have never been there, if you live within 2 hours of Knoxville, no, 3 hours, you have to go to McKay's used bookstore. It's a giant Walmart with used books, and they're like $1 to
I can't imagine books. People have ever used books in Knoxville.
That's true. All they can do is sing Rocky Top.
Anyways.
Most of them are
colored
in. They have
hundreds of Louis L'Amour books. So.
Yeah. Louis was good, man.
This is the thing about Westerns. I'm selective with my Westerns. Like, if you go on Netflix and type in Westerns, you might find a Tombstone. Or you might find an Unforgiven. But then you're also going to find a bunch of, straight-to-DVD releases that are just, insanely bad and dumb.
No, Louis L'Amour is like a bunch of John Wayne movies. I mean, it's just like John Wayne movies over and over and over. That's what he wrote. So Men Are Men, they kill people, they hang people, bad things happen, Indians die. Yeah. That's a Louis L'Amour book for you, basically. A horse gets broken somewhere along the way, that's Louis L'Amour. It's good stuff. There's usually a woman or two thrown in, but it's not explicit at all. Nice. It's just like some woman that they're faithful to kind of thing.
Also, shout out to Stephen Rome's, or am I saying that right? He follows me on Twitter. Sent me three books by Dirk Hayhurst, who writes baseball books. Bigger Than the Game, Out of My League, and The Bullpen Gospels. I feel like I've heard of The Bullpen Gospels.
I haven't. No. You guys heard that? It's cool.
So shout out to Steven. Neat. You need to read them.
You have to let us know how that goes. If you would like to send some mail or anything to the boys here at Knock Alma Nation, you can do so at P.O. Box 565. Is that right, babe? 565, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. You can address those Knock Alma Nation and
make it checks out. We'll get it to Josh Brown.
That's possible, yeah, if you'd like. Or you can just become a patron supporter and support the entire show at patreon.com/knockahomination. You become a patron supporter. If you would like some awesome knockahomination gear, shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahomination. Shirts, hats, chef's aprons, thermoses, cups, coffee cups, all kinds of stuff. You can get it all there.
To clarify, aprons that are for chefs, chef aprons, not chefs and aprons. We don't offer any chefs, unfortunately. But I mean, I will come cook for you guys if you want me to.
But that takes a pretty good donation. Thanks for listening. It's been fun. See you later, JT and Josh.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomination. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomination.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @knockahomantn. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.